Okay. So now we have our answer to the original question, the scenario I posed to all of you. I freely commit a mortal sin. I've chosen to separate myself from God. I knew what I was doing. But I changed my heart, and now I'm driving to confession, and you, one of you bad drivers, and I get hit. And because of that, the answer is I go to hell. Because I chose it. That's the reality of sin. That's the reality of free choice. You chose it. That's what Jesus came to save. You better take sin seriously. You only have one life. That's the first part of the answer. Now, if we can accept this truth of reality, then the second part of the answer, the second part of reality, will also make sense. If you don't get that first part, you will not understand the second part. Now, we're going to understand the second part of the answer through the third way we know the essence of the story of Christianity, the essence of the identity of Jesus Christ. It says, "Then the good thief said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus replied, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The good thief makes a prayer, an act of faith, hope, and trust. He recognizes who Jesus really is. He recognizes on the cross, Jesus is God. And so Jesus promises him paradise. Jesus forgives him at that last moment, and Jesus reveals that he's the King of Mercy. Now let's go back to that scenario. If I commit a mortal sin, and then I do want to go to confession, I better go to confession as soon as possible. But there's a time, let's say it happens at night, and there's a day gap between when I go to confession. This is what we all have to do. Two things. As soon as I commit that mortal sin and I have true remorse, you make what's called an act of perfect contrition. And secondly, you promise God, you make a firm intention, I'm going to go to confession as soon as possible. And if you do those two things, you will be restored to a state of grace. And if you get hit by a car on your way to confession, you will not go to hell. Now let's talk about those two conditions. Number one, it's called an act of perfect contrition. Contrition means we're sorry. And there are two kinds of contrition, imperfect, perfect. They are both good. But one's better. Imperfect means we are sorry for what we've done because we're afraid of going to hell. That's good. But perfect contrition means we're sorry because we've hurt the person we've loved. And Archbishop Sheen says, the difference between these two kinds of contrition, both are good, but the difference between them is like a little girl who lies to our parents and then imperfect says, I guess I can't go to the picnic now, can I? I'm sorry, Mom. That's imperfect contrition. She's sorry because she's going to get punished. But another girl lies to her parents and she says, runs up to her mom and dad. She hugs them. I'm sorry for hurting you, Mom. I'm sorry for hurting you, Dad. That's a better kind of contrition. Now, this is the act of perfect contrition. There it is. It's a beautiful prayer. I hope we can all memorize it. I hope we can all pray it every single day. Now, this is the second part of the second condition. You have to have a firm intention to go to confession as soon as possible. The church does not specify a time frame. How soon is as soon as possible? This is really important, as you can tell. So we have to make time to go to confession. Now, if we do these two things, we will be in a state of grace, meaning our relationship with God will be restored. Now, this is something I have never taught you before in 5 years here. Why haven't I taught you this ever before? Do you know why? It's because there's such a huge risk of abuse. A lot of Catholics don't understand the first part of the story. And so what they do is they hear this and they're thinking, oh, really? I just make my perfect contrition? I guess I don't have to go to confession anymore. And then everyone just goes to communion with no real sorrow. And then a really bad part about this is that people who do that, they never overcome their sins. because they don't take it seriously. They don't get the first part of the story, so the second part is no use to them. So remember, if ever we've committed a mortal sin, we should never take Holy Communion. Now, I cannot read someone's soul, but it seems to me if we make an act of perfect contrition and then we don't go to confession as soon as possible, that sounds to me like we're playing games with God. We're taking our eternal life into our own hands, and we're sinning against God again. Now, a fair question a lot of people ask is, well, Father Justin, now that you've told us this, why do we even bother go to confession? Okay, it's a good question, and there's a very simple answer. If you get cancer, do you pray to God for healing, or do you go to a doctor? And the answer is both. Yes, exactly. If we get cancer, we pray to God directly, and we go to the doctor. Now, if we commit a mortal sin, do you pray to God directly, act of perfect contrition, or go to confession? What's the answer? Both. Yeah, see, confession is for our good. Jesus gave us confession because he knows, as humans, we need physical signs of his mercy. We need to encounter it physically. And that's why whenever we go to confession, there's psychologically, it's just more real. When we confess to God directly, it's good. It's not as real. That's why when we go to confession, we always grow, because we will always overcome our sins. It's just more real. So the church teaches that even if we're restored to sanctifying grace, we made the act of perfect contrition, we made a promise, we're going to go to confession as soon as possible, even when we're in that state of grace, don't go to confession just yet. Because you have to go to confession first. You have to complete the action first. And it seems to me it's a very good atonement. Just by waiting, that's a good atonement for our sins. So this practical scenario that a lot of us have encountered and a lot of us do encounter, this points to the big story of Christianity. For the past 3 months, we've been talking about being made for mission. And so being part of Jesus' mission, we want to know, how do we explain Christianity to people in a way that they can understand? Use two analogies. Number one is marriage. People understand the reality of marriage. So the Bible says that man's relationship with God is like a marriage. People get that. We can break that relationship. It can also be healed. The Bible is like a love story, right? And the Bible, God's writing to us, that's like his love letters to us. So use the image of marriage to explain Christianity to people. And then number two, use the story of Jesus and the good thief. That tells us so much about Christianity. It tells us that sin is real. It's really bad. Jesus is God, what he did for us, how precious we are. And then there is a time limit. There's a time limit to salvation, but there's still a chance for mercy. And that is the essence of Christianity.